on a funny looking two car train on a. No, I think it's only two cars. Both of you think it's three?
Yeah, because there are three entrances.
Yeah, but I think there's two entrances in this car.
Yeah, but instead there's a car behind us.
Well, I hate to debate you about this, but I really think it's only a two-car train. But I suppose when we get off the train, we'll have to count the cars at that point again. Oh, I thought I already did count the cars. But, I mean, you might. It's a weird train, though. You hear that engine? It sounds like a bus. It's very unusual. But what we did was we took the train from Dublin to Limerick Junction. Now, Limerick Junction has got nothing to do with Limerick because it's not really near Limerick. You have to take another train, the little tiny train that we're on now, to Limerick. Or you could take a through train, which goes directly from Dublin to Limerick. That's when we would have gotten on if we had gotten on the earlier one, but it's not an express, so it goes a little slower. But regardless, we're on our way to Limerick, and we're going to rent the car then. That's going to be fun. I get to drive on the wrong side of the road, and then we're heading out west. We're going to meet up with our friend Marianne Devine from years past on the radio station.
About her, Jay.
I'm sorry?
Can't move you about her.
No, she has nothing to do with Waking Ned Devine.
Waking Ned.
Yeah, it's called Waking Ned. It's called Waking Ned here, Waking Ned Devine in the States. I don't know why they added the last name, but whatever. So we're continuing our trek. And I don't want to dwell on the point, but we just passed the train that I think is going in the other direction. And I counted two cars in that train, just to point that out. And
we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. We will see. We're going to settle this, make sure that we get our facts right. So let's listen a little bit to the Gaelic language on the radio. So, Marianne, what is it we're listening to? What is this language?
Irish.
Irish, otherwise known as Gaelic.
Irish Gaelic.
Okay. Oh, by the way, just a note to the listeners. When referring to Gaelic football, it is not cool to abbreviate it as gay football. Apparently, they don't like that.
I haven't heard that, but I can understand why that might make sense.
Interesting. Well, I learned something on this trip. So we're visiting Marianne Devine here in what do you want to tell your community, or just want to say?
Sure, I'm leaving in a few weeks.
Okay.
Cronan, Crnane, Cronan, which is sort of above Doolin.
It's nice to have the Irish music in the background. This is the radio here.
That's our soundtrack.
Everybody just listens to this all the time.
Not really, but okay.
Okay, so you're here in this Western Ireland community by the cliffs of Moher, is that how you say it?
Uh-huh.
And this is just we're looking out over this vast expanse of land right now. It just goes on forever. Just greenery and little houses and occasional.
And the burn is that way too, kind of the north top of West Clare, or I guess Northwest Clare or something like that.
Wow. And, of course, some of you may remember Marianne from Saturday mornings on WUSB.
Yep.
And you've been on our station for a long time, and I imagine you'll be back on our station before too long.
Eventually.
Good. Why? Why here? Actually, you know what? I should be driving, because we're trying to get to those cliffs, actually. I'm driving the car. I've rented a car, and I'm driving it on the wrong side of the road. Their right side of the road, but on the left. So it's kind of strange. It's not as hard as you might think. Steering wheel is obviously on the right-hand side. The gear shift, I think more people have trouble shifting with the manual transmission. The gear shift is on the left, so you have to use your left hand to shift instead of your right hand, which you would use if you were in the left seat.
And the emergency brake.
And yeah, well, I try not to use that. Basically, the thing that really gets me here are the very narrow roads. So you're coming up on somebody, it looks like you're going to clip them, and of course, you know, you can either hit a wall on the left side or you can hit somebody else's mirror on the right side. It's your choice. And it's just, and people go very fast, too, like 100 kilometers an hour on a very narrow road that's really only has room for 1.5 cars. So right now I'm going to try to back out of your driveway. Well, back around so I can... Yeah, so why don't you describe the scenery while I try not to wreck the car.
Okay, let's see. So there's some wildflowers about, and then particularly in this driveway, there's a bunch of stones in this area. There's Doolin stone and Liscannor stone, and there's local quarries that I think if you sneak in at night, you can just steal the stuff and maybe no one will notice. And then just a lot of grass, a lot of green. In fact, when it's a good season, all the people who mow lawns are very happy because that's what they need to do. And this house particularly, there's some kind of forest grove of, I don't know, those Douglas firs or some kind of pine trees. So they're actually blocking the ocean view, which is kind of sad. But then there's a bog in the backyard, which I've yet to visit directly, but it's on the plans of things to do.
What is a bog?
uh-oh. This is where my tourism is.
There's one near you, and you don't know what it is. What is
well,
it?
I believe, sort of, that's, you know, there's, like, dirt that's here for, like, thousands of years. It's all compacted and mushed. And what they do is they cut slices out of it, and then they, like, bricks, kind of, and they pile them up, and they let them dry out, and then they take them home, and you can use them kind of in place of coal to burn in the wintertime, because that was expensive, and people here didn't have a lot of money for centuries, never mind now again that they don't have money. But so people would use that to burn in the fire. So I don't know if the bog has anything else in there that's noteworthy. I think sometimes they find artifacts, or they found, I think, some very thousand-year-old guy a year or two ago, and the archaeologists were all happy. But and they did a DNA test or something, and it was, like, similar to the DNA of the people living in the area, so they knew it was a direct descendant versus maybe some nomadic tribe that had come here or something. But, yeah. And there's just lots of green fields and some houses spread around, and quite often you see cows. Sometimes the cows cross the middle of the road, not as much as it used to be, I think. But, and today's a kind of a bright day. It didn't really rain at all today. A lot of times it might rain part of the day and then be nice and be part of the day. Oh.
Actually, today, I think, is one of the brightest days we've seen in Ireland. I've been here. Oh, there's a car. Hold on. All right. It's just going. I panic every time I see a car because you don't
there's
know
a dog.
Oh, my God. Hey! This dog is charging
them.
Right at us. Is he trying to herd the car?
Kind of.
It's a sheep herding dog.
Yep.
Well, where is he now? I don't know if he's under the car or what.
He's smart enough. Don't worry about him. Right. Just worry about the road.
He's chasing us. He's chasing
us.
Like we're cars, not sheep, you stupid mutt.
Or cows.
All right. I assume I'm going the right way here.
Correct. So now we're actually on a road that I don't... If it has a name, I don't know what it is. No one's ever sort of described it even. But it's the road that kind of is between the Innistimon-Lisdon-Varna Road that goes down to Doolin. So that's what we're going to do, only we're not going actually down to Doolin proper right now, because what we're going to do is we're going to turn and go on the cliff road, because we're going to go to the cliffs.
And we're going to get charged plenty, apparently, to park, because every tourist in the world seems to want to go to these cliffs.
Yeah, they have busloads full of people that go there, because it's one of those famous sites. It's like Blarney Castle, Cliffs of Moher, something else.
Yeah.
So you're not going to get to Blarney Castle, though.
Yeah. I can live with not going to Blarney Castle, but I do want to see these cliffs, or at least see the view from the cliffs, because it looks very exciting.
Well, that's right. And actually, this is the first time I'll have been here since the mid-90s, because I came in as a child in 73, and you could just walk up to them, and the castle was there, where you could just go up some steps and see higher up. Then I came in the early 80s with my friend Kathleen, who was a USB family member, so to speak, related to Dr. Eugene Zamperon, who does a health show at USB. He and Ellen Kamai on Fridays. But Kathleen and I traveled around for a month in Ireland, and so we went there, and it was still pretty open. And then I think I came in the mid-90s, and again, it was a little more fenced off, but you were still able to lean over and look down. So now, never mind, that's not him. I thought I knew somebody, but not right now.
Well, I mean, one thing we've learned about this place is that a lot of people know each other. In fact, we had quite an adventure yesterday, because I actually have relatives that come from this very area. Now, it's amazing enough that you live a mere 10 minutes away from... Are you worried I was going to hit the side of the road?
A little bit, yeah. The pole and everything.
Occasionally, Marianne panics because I'm way too close to the left side of the road. But, you know, if there's a choice between being too close to the left side and being too close to the right side, I'll go for hitting underbrush and getting into a ditch rather than hitting...
Yeah, but I'm sitting on the side that's going to hit the phone pole.
I'm in on the side that is going to hit a car coming same speed towards me or faster. But in any event, yes, so it was incredible when you told me where you were staying. It was so close to where supposedly my relatives hail from. And so it made sense that I would come out here and we'd tackle this job together and try to track down any surviving members of the family. And, last night we had quite a time because I had a bare amount of information. I had the name of a farm, and I had... It was...
It was the name of the area that the farm was in.
Yeah, I didn't know what it was, to be honest. It was a name. and also the name of the community, which is Lahinch, which I kept forgetting. Do you want to describe the various steps we went through and the progress?
Oh, sure. Actually, I wrote a note to a friend already about it. That first, what we did is, because you had the information about Lahinch, and I didn't know where this particular area was, but we knew it was nearby. So we were asking about that. So first we went into one of the hotels in Lahinch, because we figured that's a good place to start, because probably somebody who works there might have been there for a little while. And in fact, like a young woman, to be honest, named, I guess it was Marion, helped us. Like a few people behind the bar tried to help us, but she knew the most. So she sent us over to a guest house.
We just went to this bar. Why did we go to that particular bar?
Well, that wasn't really a bar. It was like the bar of the hotel.
Oh.
And we went to the first one, but no one was really available to talk to us. So then we went to the second one. So.
And that was a good thing, because it was all luck. If somebody had been there at that first hotel, we wouldn't have gone to the second one. And the second one was where, well, there was a guy. There was an old guy sitting at the bar in the hotel. And we were joking, hey, maybe this is one of my relatives. Oh, boy, that was close. Oh, wow, did you see that?
No, I closed my eyes, to be honest.
Well, I was going to do the same thing, but I'm glad I didn't. But there was a bus.
And I went.
There was a bus, and I swear, part of him was in my lane anyway, but then I know I was, like, on the grass on your side. But, yeah. There's only so much you can do.
Oh, yeah, well, sometimes if there's a pullover spot, you could even just pull over.
There wasn't.
Yeah, no, I know.
There wasn't.
I know, that's why I closed my eyes.
Oh, and now someone's passing me on the right. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, they get a patient.
Am I not going fast enough for you? Oh, I'm sorry.
You're only going 35 miles a kilometer.
I'm going 80 kilometers an hour.
So what is it, like 45?
Okay, but, yeah, so...
So instead, we went into
people salute you here, too, by the way.
Yeah, which means, like, they kind of wave from the steering wheel.
Yeah, I didn't realize that's what that was.
Yeah.
I'm sorry for the salute back I gave somebody.
Yeah.
Okay, so, yeah, we went to this hotel bar, and...
The Shamrock Hotel.
Oh, that sounds...
Well, first we went to the Atlantic, and that's when no one was available. So then we went to the Shamrock Hotel.
So you have a photographic memory about these things. I just know we went to a hotel. Hold on. This guy was in my lane. You saw that, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Because if you find other tourists, and yes, I'm calling myself a tourist at the moment, who are paranoid about the road on the other side, they might actually borrow some of your lane. And
yeah, I've seen that. Done.
Yeah, and there's no place for you to go. No place. There's no shoulder. Nothing.
No.
Yes.
Grass and ditches.
So, where are we? The hotel. So we went into this bar, hotel that had a bar, and there was this old guy sitting there, and we were asking his questions with, giving the family name, and I fully expected him at any moment to say, oh, I know exactly who you are, and have a nice old time with this person I just found by chance. But instead, he kept his trap shut and didn't really say anything, but kept looking at us, and I imagine maybe he might have known who we were talking about, but didn't choose to say anything.
Maybe they're in some kind of, land dispute or something. He doesn't talk to them.
Yeah, there might be a feud. There are all kinds of feuds. I've seen the films about Ireland. I know people have tempers running short sometimes. And, who knows what could be, what that drama we could be stepping into. So anyway, we got information. They actually spent a lot of time just asking different people. We had a piece of paper that had the facts that we knew written on it. And they went around passing this piece of paper to various people. And, one person knew where something was. Another person knew, how to get there. Hang on, there's people on the road here. What do I do with them?
Hope they get out of the way.
Yeah, you have people walking in the road on top of everything else. Maybe, Marianne, you can explain this to me. Why are the roads so narrow? Why don't they make a sidewalk or a shoulder or something? I mean, there's plenty of space. There's plenty of field.
No idea.
That's maybe somebody who understands how Ireland was started can explain why they feel necessary to make the road as narrow as humanly possible. Hold on, I got to hit the brake because the person in front of me is slowing down.
Well, because the car in the front is the slowest.
Yeah, well, he's apparently more afraid than me. They spent at least 5 minutes helping us. That time I actually did fall off the road. Sorry about that.
Yikes.
Okay. Oh, and beautiful scenery to our right, by the way, which I can't appreciate.
Robert, look out the window.
Yes. Yes, we have a guest in the back as well. The ocean is there, but if I look at that, I won't be able to drive. But we're going to look at that when we get to the cliffs,
So
no problem. They were helping us out and really taking their time. I guess, people do this quite often, come by and try to look for old family members. And they gave us some information.
So then Marion said that area that we were looking for was closer to Moy House, which is a guest house, very lovely, that's set kind of right near the ocean that apparently, I can't remember his last name, but Tony somebody who was a surfer for a while, and I guess got some money from doing it, maybe competitions or something, he built a guest house, and it's called Moy House, M-O-Y, And we went there because it should be closer to the area that we were trying to look for. And did you want to add?
Well, no, it's just that I was amazed that you knew exactly what they were talking about when they said Moy House. You know, you know all the names of the houses around here.
Well, because that's actually, I mean, I've been looking at that sign for years saying I should follow that road and go in there, and I just never have. So it's actually really fun for me to go in there.
Do we pay now or do we pay later?
I think you got to put in a little machine. Or maybe we pay after. It says, please drive in.
Please drive in. Okay.
Press button and get the ticket. Oh, no, you got to press the button and get the ticket.
Could you press the button and get the ticket? Open the door and get the
ticket. I mean, we could have come back and done it, but we might as well do it here.
What the hell? Get two tickets.
Yeah, I don't think you need two, because then you're going to pay two prices.
No more tickets.
Oh!
No more tickets. All right. Well, then I guess what's free?
We don't have a car.
Get back in the car. We'll sort this out.
Well, yeah, we'll figure it out. There's a pay station over there. Maybe we pay there.
Anyway, so here we are in the car park, and we didn't get tickets, so I don't know what's going to happen. But, you know, it's always better to just be ignorant, because we're good at that. And
I pretend, people might take offense. I apologize. Let's play it blonde.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, nice one. Now, I just wanted to clarify something.
I'm a redhead. I can get away with some of that stuff.
You said that you've seen that sign from Moy House for many years, and
yep.
You've only moved here a couple of months ago.
Like a month.
Yeah, so how did you do that exactly?
Well, I've been visiting here for probably the last 4 or 5 years. For a while, once a year, and the last 2 or 3 years, twice a year. So I've been driving up and down the Coast Road and the Cliff Road, and I just see that sign. So then Moy House is this lovely guest house. We didn't get to peep into the bedrooms and stuff, so I presume they're, you know, probably suite rooms with ensuite bathrooms and all this good stuff. And so a nice Polish girl, like, kind of standing there looking like idiots for a little while in the foyer, she came over and asked if we needed help, and we explained the situation. And what she did is she was going to try and look for some information, and what she did, she looked on the internet using that town name, or area name, it's hard to explain, but she looked it up in the internet and found a self-catering cottage, which means it's sort of like an empty house that's furnished and has bric-a-brac and all that stuff, but like a person or a family could rent it for some period of time.
I just found it amazing that we were able to walk into this amazingly elegant house and just be told we can wait in the drawing room.
Yes,
I'd never actually been in a drawing room before.
There's a whole lot of liquor there.
There's a lot of liquor, a fireplace, comfy chairs, a wonderful view of the ocean. And
magazines.
And we just had all this time to just sit there and contemplate life, and while they were running around trying to find out information for us. And what's particularly odd is that the door coming into that room had a name on it, and the name was the very name that we were looking for, except I think it was written in Gaelic instead of in English.
Mm-hmm.
And so we knew we were in the right place or close to it. And I'd say it was probably about 15 minutes, they finally came down and gave us some information. They had a printout, actually, from a computer.
Mm-hmm.
And then they actually went back to find us a phone number so that we were able to call this place. That supposedly rented cottages, and
just that one cottage.
We rented a cottage, and it had the name we were looking for. Mm-hmm. So it was another step, and I was amazed at that point with how helpful people were. Now we've arrived at the cliffs of, I want to say cliffs of Dover, but no, the cliffs of Moher, and we're going to walk around. I'm not sure if the wind might interfere with the recording, so we should pick up this story when we get back in the car.
Okay.
So we're at Moy House, and they've given us the information we want, and our next step is to move on from there.
No, we've made a phone call, but that's what we'll talk about when we
get back. Okay, well, we haven't yet made the phone call. We'll do that when we get back, but we'll talk on the cliffs, too, and hopefully that'll come out, but it might be really windy.
Okay.
It's always windy on top of cliffs. Back in a few. Oh, that's a good gust of wind there.
Just when you turn it on.
Oh.
It's quiet.
There was no wind a second ago. Now it's really windy again, but here we are. We're standing on top of the cliff. Oh, yeah, it's getting hit with gale force.
Sunglasses on, because it's not hurting my eyes.
Yeah, I should put my sunglasses on. But yeah, here we are on top of the cliff. Well, we're not actually standing on top of the cliff looking over the edge. We're standing by a wall a few dozen or so feet inwards from the edge of the cliff. So you live like 5 minutes away from this.
Maybe 10.
And this is the first time you've come here since moving here?
Since 1994.
It's amazing. This is one of like mankind's most amazing achievements, and you don't come and look at it every day.
I think it's like media, you know, some nature built thing, not for man, but actually,
nature, man, what's the difference?
I don't know, about a few thousand years or something. But actually, to be honest, there's some cliffs that are as impressive as this in further down that are free to go to. You just drive on them. But
well, this is free for us to go to because we didn't.
We paid a ticket.
We intended to pay, but the machine said no tickets.
Right, we're going to have to refigure that because we got to put some ticket in the machine for the gate open.
Well, there's a man that's standing behind a booth, and he seems to want €8 for every person, but he also wants a ticket, and we don't have a ticket, and I don't even know if we have €8, but we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. Right now we're standing on a cliff, so we're not going to worry about parking. This is what the side of a castle sounds like when smacked with a hand. It still looks like that doesn't look as high as it looks from a distance, but I'm sure it is. I'm not challenging it. I'm just saying. It's like when you see a baseball game for the first time, a professional one. It seems smaller than the way it looks on TV. It's like, wow, I could hit a ball over that fence. You know, it doesn't seem as big. I'm not saying I want to dive off the cliff or anything like that. Just, you know, it just doesn't seem quite as big as it looks in a postcard.
I fell in my garage like 10 feet off a ladder and onto stuff, and it hurt, so I'm sure this could do a little damage.
Right, but if I saw a postcard of somebody falling off a ladder in your garage, I'm sure it wouldn't be as
impressive.
Well, it wouldn't seem exaggerated. It would seem, yeah, that's pretty much what it looks like.
Yeah.
But, I don't know.
There's like rocks and stuff under these rocks, so.
Well, you know, my view could totally change once I see it. I could, you know, go catatonic and.
I don't think you're going to get much closer to this stuff.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to go up to the top here.
Different vantage.
Yeah. There are places, though. I've seen pictures of this where, I think it's in France, where people just camp out or picnic on top of cliffs. It's literally, if they go another two steps, they're over the edge.
Oh, yeah. Well, those other, the Loop Hill cliffs, which is a peninsula that sticks out on the bottom of Clare before Kerry, you can just go lie down on those. So.
I mean, I wouldn't want to go to sleep because, you know, sometimes I roll over in my sleep and that would be quite an awakening. I think the wind's letting up. Not the best place to bring a hat. Remind me not to do that on the edge. Let me see if I understand this. The sign here says, extreme danger, unstable cliff edge.
And it says, who cares, we do. And it tells you, I don't know if that's supposed to be like people who died or something.
Yeah, the Samaritans have signs up everywhere. I'm not quite sure what that's all about. But,
no, I guess it's not people who died.
But there are people literally...
Phone number, I realize.
Well, there are people literally climbing the wall here, and it says extreme danger, unstable cliff. So,
and then right there it says private property.
All right, so I'm going to look over the wall first.
Come on, let's go!
I'm just curious. Well, there's not even a cliff here. There's just it's just a path. But oh, as you walk there's no fence or anything. Okay, let's go.
There's another tower out there.
I almost tripped. All right, so here there's no. This is where it gets serious. All right. People telling their children they may not go down this path, and I don't blame them.
Are we going?
Well, it's up to you. What do you think? Should we go down this path where there's no wall or fence on the side?
For a penny and for a dollar? One of those expressions. Come on.
Not sure what that means. Okay. Just don't let me trip over this cable again.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Don't trip at all.
Hang on. Let's just stand here for a second. This is amazing. We're right at the edge. There's no question about it now. I'm going up here just to be safe. Ah! If I lose my hat this time, I don't think anybody's going to grab it for me. Well, also to our left is a bunch of cows. And if they get pissed off, then... Well, if they charged us... What if one of them was a bull and we didn't know it?
Well, we'd know it after.
Well, I mean, how much do they test these cows to make sure they don't have bull in them? Whoa, almost lost the hat again. This is one of the best places to come to take pictures of cows. Well, no, it's just they're very
quiet cows.
They act very natural on top of the cliff, so it's worth climbing and turn the other direction that everybody else is and just take pictures of the cows. Okay, now I'm looking this way. Oh my God, look at that. I even have trouble letting old ladies get behind me. on a cliff like this, because you never know. A lifetime of pent-up frustration, who knows how it might manifest itself. All right. Well, I'm just saying, I wouldn't let a toddler behind me either. Let me, and the cows are starting to make noise. I like to come here at night.
I've heard of people doing that.
Yeah.
And walking here with just a torch, which is what they call flashlights.
Yeah, I learned that when I was in a tunnel.
If it was a full moon, you probably wouldn't need one.
Is this all people do in Ireland is risk their lives?
Pretty much. Either in the pub or out of the pub.
This is simply unbelievable. I wonder how many cows go over the edge.
Number 5.
Shall we go just to that stage there?
Yeah. Oh, see how those people are leaning over? That thing that sometimes people do, they lean over and just look straight down.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to lean over and look straight down.
Come on, it's safe. I've done it.
What do you mean, how's it safe?
You lie down, and then you slowly inch up on your belly.
Yeah.
You get to a spot where you can see over. And then you come back the same way.
And how is having a heart attack safe? They're French. I can do it. I don't know if I can.
I'm gonna.
All right. I'll watch you do that. Is there anyone I should call? Or that's a meaning of the word safe I'm not familiar with. How is sticking your head?
There's a big lump of dirt, so I really have to throw myself over to fall down.
All right.
But this isn't as dramatic as the one over there, because that's higher up.
Give me a minute. Why do I do these things?
Billy Crawl.
No, it's incredible. I mean, on the radio, I just like do all these crazy things that I never would do ordinarily. And I don't even know why.
It's
not like anybody's listening. I'm not jumping out of an airplane, I'll tell you that right now. That's not going to happen. I'm not bungee jumping either.
Unless you have a parachute.
Yeah, there's too many people here. I can't do it with all these people here, obviously.
Yeah.
Well, it's that, and also, yeah. Great, Christ on a stick. All right.
Can he fit?
I just want to get mud on my clothes, that's all. All right, I'm kneeling down now. All right.
But you should describe what you're seeing and the panic you're going through.
Well, yeah, I'm also why I know what's behind me. But, all right, I'm lying down on the grass. I feel like I'm in a war. And I see, yeah, there's some dirt there. Yeah, that's about as far as I want to lean. But far, far below. What's that? Far, far below is the water, which doesn't surprise me, but it's a very steep cliff. You can't really see over the edge. You can just see like a very steep decline, and then there's the edge, and that's... I don't really want to see over that far. I see enough. You know, in the last month, I've looked down a missile silo. I've gone into an abandoned train station with no lights at all, and I had a really bad dream. It's been one hell of a month.
That last one's killing me.
Well, I'm just saying, it's been stressful. Oh, well, okay, I'm glad I did that, though.
Yeah.
Right, emphasis has... on the past tense. All right, I suggest
we make our way back.
That we go back
away
from the
anywhere.
Cliff. Plus, we're supposed to meet somebody a while ago.
Yeah, like half hour ago.
Oh, dear. It's amazing how you get used to things. Now we're just walking along the side of the cliff, and I'm not even thinking about it. Like nothing. Like, when I went through the train tunnel, it was nothing after I went through it once. So we're about to make the phone call then.
Yep.
And we're at Moy House. And what exactly happened next?
Oh, so we're at Moy House, and the lovely Polish woman that was helping us out gave us like a piece of paper that she had printed out from the internet about the area, and like this was, I'm doing the review, so people catching up, it's like when they show the last week's episode. She gave us a paper, and it had this cottage on it, like a rental cottage, self-catering, meaning it's empty, there's no one there.
Hold on,
oh, look, the phone's ringing.
Hold on, all right. Take this call.
Hold the phone.
See, I was missing these calls all day because my phone wasn't on.
It was off. All right.
Hello? Hey, how are you doing? Well, I didn't pick up because my phone was on silent, I'm sorry, and I was on the cliffs of Moher, and I didn't, it was very distracting. But I'm reachable now. I'm reachable now, and if you call me, it doesn't cost me anything, so I can talk for as long as necessary. This is about... Hold on 1 second. I have to pay a parking ticket. Hold on a second. Hold on. What do I do?
Look at, like, it'll have where the arrow...
I can't even reach it. Hold on. This is more of a pain than anything I've ever done.
You know that.
Well, it really is. I mean, I'm driving on the wrong side of the road, trying to pay a parking thing that's out of reach, and being on the phone at the same time. Which way do I go, left or right?
Left.
Okay. I'll put my seatbelt on. So let's...
We're going to recap the recap.
Yeah, continue with our story.
All right, so we're at my house, and the Polish girl's helping us, and she gives us a sheet of paper with the cottage, blah, 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 blah. So I decide I'll just call to make life easier, because we're going to try and call and ask about whomever this relation is. And then I call the number, because now we have the mobile and the landline, so I call the landline, and I just say, you know, it's my relative, blah, blah, blah. And she then kind of asked me some questions, do I have any names, so this way she can match it. So we start saying some first names to her to match the last name that we have. And she says, oh, yes, I know them. And she describes where the house is, and I write down the directions, and then we proceed to try and look for him from there.
And so, okay, so we got one more bit of information from this person, and then from that, we decided to drive around and see if we could find it.
Right, so then we drove, but it was only going to be, like, maybe half a mile, and from the description she gave me, I couldn't really figure out which road it was that the house might be on. So, and then it was starting to be, whatever, 9 o'clock, 9:30, something like that. 9 o'clock, maybe. And we hadn't eaten dinner yet, so we decided, well, let's just eat. There's, like, this nice little Indian restaurant in Lahinch. Let's just eat there. So we ate dinner.
Well, that was amazing. We found an Indian place in Lahinch, and not only that, when we asked them if they were still open, because it looked like they were going to be closed when we got there. We're used to places closing early and walking in saying, oh, the kitchen just closed, sorry. And they said, oh, we're open until midnight. And I was like, wow, I'm back in New York. An Indian place open until midnight. That's great. And I liked it right away just for that. The food could have sucked, but I liked it for that. But the food didn't suck. The food was good.
Yes, the food was good. So then we ate. We had our, you know, except for the bread was a little late, but that's okay. But we ate.
Also, yeah, I postscript to that. The bread wasn't that good. I mean, I've had onion culture before, and it wasn't that good. But everything else, the vindaloo was good, and the tikka was good. It was all right.
Yeah, so then I figured, well, you know, we're this far along. We might as well just keep going. So I asked the waitress, who was also Polish. There's a lot of Polish here doing service industry jobs. So I asked the girl, like, did she know where the graveyard was? Because the house is kind of near a graveyard, right, in that area. And she didn't know, which was fine. So then I asked the owner, one of the owners, and he wasn't sure. Oh, look, there's that red phone box that you were wanting to see. They're in green, but they're not really. I've only ever seen them in red, but maybe if we have those people, you can take a picture of it.
Well, if you watch Waking the Divine, you'll see a green one.
Yeah, but that was actually filmed in the Isle of Man, funny enough. But anyway, I digress. So then we asked the owner, and he said he doesn't know, but the landlord of the building itself is sitting over at a different table, eating dinner with him and his wife. So, we, of course, proceed to, you know, but he walks us over. It's not like we bombarded them solely by ourselves. He walks us over, and he starts to explain, and they're saying, you know, they're kind of telling us kind of where the graveyard is, but I guess at one point we were explaining why we were looking, that we were looking for this individual, and this is his name, and they're like, oh, yes, we know him, blah, 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 and they're telling us about him and saying that, you know, there's a public establishment that he visits frequently and that he is often there, and they said, we can't see his Jeep out the window, but he's probably there.
Well, I just liked how they phrased, he drinks at this pub. I mean, I can't say that about anybody. They drink at this pub, like, almost every night. You will find them in a particular pub, in a particular place, but it's predictable.
Here it is quite usual, especially for old-timers, because they kind of get set in the routine. So then we proceed, because it's called the Cornerstone, was the particular pub. And, you know, it's just a block from where we were, so we proceed to go in there. And lo and behold, we're kind of asking one bartender who may or may not have known who he was, but he goes ask another bartender.
Well, I remember what he did. He looked straight at this person who was sitting at the bar and had a smile and then walked away to talk to somebody else. So I think he was checking us out or seeing if it was okay or something like that, because he looked directly at this person first. And then he came back and he said, that's him right there.
Well, no, the second bartender did.
Was that what he did?
Yeah. I think the first bartender, he might have known who he was, but maybe he didn't feel comfortable telling. But then he got the second one. I guess the second one, you know, decided it was okay for us to know. And then he said, he's right there.
So I walked up to this guy, and I asked if, you know, he was in fact that person. Is this your name? And I said, I might be related to you. Do you have any relatives in New York? And, in fact, he said, yes, I do have relatives in New York. And As soon as the people sitting on the stools next to us heard the conversation starting, they just offered up their chairs because they knew, wow, this is going to be a big dramatic conversation.
Yeah, actually, when they moved their chairs a little and let you sit in one of them, I think it was the husband said, this could take hours. And I said, it could take longer than that even.
Absolutely. And so we got to talking, and it was simply incredible because, I had to probe a little bit, but he wound up knowing all these members of my family. And not only did he know it, he had dates. He knew what year somebody came over to America. He knew when people got married. He knew everyone's names. I mean, people that maybe he didn't even meet, but he knew their names. I just thought it was incredible. And here, I didn't even know of his existence before today or yesterday. And now we're going to see him.
Yeah, we're going to visit because did he tell you on the phone before he dug up some pictures and all kinds of stuff, right?
I don't think he said that. I think we were asking him to do that.
I heard that.
But here's something really interesting. Over the past few months, as you know, I'm a bit of an archivist, and I'm always like collecting cassettes or archiving cassettes. I used to make tapes when I was a kid. I started when I was 10 years old. And I'd go around with a tape recorder recording all sorts of family functions. And of course, later on, it just turned into me recording songs off the radio. But in that period of time where I was actually recording people, I captured some really interesting things. And one thing I captured was the 50th wedding anniversary of my grandparents back in 1973. And it turns out that I was at a party for the 50th anniversary of my grandparents, and his father was also at that party, and his mother was at that party. So I have voice recordings with me now. I log on to a system where I store these digitized recordings, and I downloaded them today. And so now here in Ireland, I have tape recordings of his parents from 1973. And who knows when the last time he's heard their voices has been. That was a long time ago. So it's something that we were able to get the information.
It's just like 8 cars that were black.
I'm so scared right now. I don't know if it shows in my voice, but we're on a narrow road, and all these cars are passing us, and I'm like an inch.
But it was like 8 of them. They're all black in a row. It's so unusual.
Because black represents death, and we're very close to it right now.
You're doing good. You know what, though? Stop being very New York. Put both hands in the wheel.
No, I do one hand, and I'm doing the right hand now.
But you might be less scared if you had both hands.
No, that has nothing to do. Oh, these people should be scared. They're walking in the street.
They don't know that you're a new driver here.
Okay, but are we getting close to his house?
No, we still have to go through the hedge first.
Okay. I hope he's not. We're over an hour late, so I hope we're not inconveniencing him too much. Now I'm passing a bicyclist around the blind curve where there's no shoulder.
But you know what? If there's indents in the white line, then it's okay.
You'd like to think that, wouldn't you? But yeah, you see, the thing is, I saw a dotted white line and it said no passing, so I'm not sure how they resolved that.
Usually if there's a straightaway, it's okay.
That wasn't a straightaway. That was a curve.
Right.
Yeah. So who knows? It might be a very interesting thing for him to hear this, and he might have some pictures and other things, but it's just amazing that, we just found this guy in a pub in this small town, and he's a relative. He's somebody.
Well, that's what, too. I think we started looking around 7 or so, mm-hmm. at making our inquiries, and then it was 10:30 when you were saying hi to him or thereabouts, so I thought that was pretty good timing, 3.5 hours.
We also sat down for a leisurely dinner in between all that.
Right, so we could take an hour out, so say 2.5 hours.
Yeah. I mean...
I had to pay like a few $1,000 to find my birth mother, so you did pretty good.
Yeah. Well, I think it was luck, a lot of luck. But, I was told that, years ago, one of my relatives said, you just simply ask, for the family name, and they'll tell you, the farmhouse up the road. It just seems so romantic and fanciful that something like that could happen.
All right, we're here with Marianne Devine on the main road of what town is this?
Ennis Steinman.
So, I thought it'd be nice. It's actually like 9 in the morning on...
it's like 9:20, but
yeah, we're
only
a little
late. Counting.
We have to run back to what is it?
Lahinch? No,
we came from Lahinch.
Yeah.
We have to run back to Limerick.
That's it. They're all that other L word.
And get a ride from the car rental people to the train, then take the train to Dublin, and then somehow figure out how to get to the ferry station from Dublin so we can get to Wales.
That's right.
That's what it's like traveling.
It's going to be busy today.
It's going to be a fun day. so I figured it would be nice to stand here at 9 o'clock in the morning in the middle of Ireland and talk about WUSB a little bit.
Okay.
The radio station we both hail from.
Uh-huh.
What are some of your favorite memories of WUSB?
I have so many. It's hard to pick just one. Especially on the fly.
I imagine your Saturday morning show would be one of them.
Sure, but I'm trying to think of a particularly memorable moment with my show.
Perhaps the show itself is a memorable moment.
I could remember that, sure. Yeah, that sounds good. Well, I guess, actually I had, the travelogue shows I've enjoyed, and it seems like, I got nice responses to those.
Tell us about your travelogue shows, because I've done my show of travelogue shows, and it's nice to know there's more than one person on the station doing this kind of thing.
Well, I guess, I don't know, I think I started three or four years ago. I mean, I used to just do it minutely, like a long time ago, but then depending on where I was traveling, I'd talk about it. But the particular, Ireland, what did I do on my summer vacation shows, I think I was up to, about four or five of them. And then right before I left to come here in early July, I did the What I'm Going to Do in My Summer Vacation Plus show. So, and that was kind of nice. If you want to talk about memorable, going out sort of for the meanwhile, is that was our 32nd anniversary, because it was June 27th that I did the show.
USP is 32nd anniversary.
Yep, so the first couple of hours were, a little bit about the anniversary and Norm Preslin, who's a former general manager. We talked on the phone for a bit, and then we kind of then went into the Clannagale show and did the I'm Leaving show.
Tell us about that show, which has always been interesting.
Which show?
The Irish show.
Well, it's actually the Celtic show, because it could involve any of the Celtic nations and or their byproducts. So it's, and clan means family, and
just like it does in the States.
The tractor. Yeah,
a tractor just went by.
Yeah,
nobody thought anything of it.
Yeah.
But clan, well, it's spelled with two N's in the show, but it means the same thing, family.
Yes, it means family. And then the Gaels were, they were sort of one of those tribes. There's the Celts and the Gaels, and I forget sort of which conquered which, but there's a lot of conquering involved in Irish history.
Not so much now. I didn't see any conquering while I was here.
No, not so much. Yeah, just
I saw the Dublin Gaelic football team get conquered pretty good by Kerry.
Yeah, I think most of the conquering is done by the government and the banks, messing everybody up like they've done in various countries. So I think, unfortunately, they've been conquered by their own trusting of their government in some way.
Oh, it's getting political here.
Yeah,
wow.
I know. I didn't even have my tea yet.
Is this what Ireland does to you? Make you all political and cynical and things? Wow.
Well, I probably was a little like that already, but, when it rains a lot, you start to get a little bit of sad, right? Seasonal affect disorder. Oh, I'm looking forward to that.
You miss Lister?
I do, because, who could not miss Lister? And plus, I always had the fun of, seeing him relaxed and happy down to his, in this happy mode, shirtless. And not many people look good shirtless, but Lister, is very fit.
He's been doing that for many, many years. In fact, I was listening to an old Voice of Long Island from 1981, where Mike and I were talking about Lister in much the same way.
Yeah, and so, yes, I miss Lister.
He always comes on at noon after your show is on, always, every Saturday from 12 to 3.
Right, I'm not on every week. Jerry would be on the other weeks. But one
Jerry
of
Reamer.
Would be on. Yep, Jerry Reamer.
And she still does the show now.
Yep, and Joe V is kind of taking up the space for me while I'm away. I don't know if anybody from the station's done this, but I asked for a one-year hiatus sabbatical thing and was granted that, so
yeah, there was some debate over whether we should grant you that, but I think
it was talk.
Well, tentatively we're going to see how it goes.
Right.
We're going to do a reevaluation at the 6 month period.
Eek.
You've been here for what, 2 months now?
It might feel like that. No, it'll be a month on Saturday, I guess, that I'll have been here.
Feels like you've been gone so long.
Aw. Actually, it feels like I've been here for years at this point. I don't know if that's good or bad, because it's not really a vacation when you go to live somewhere. Especially when you're not working. I'm conserving my funds, and I'm not really doing the things. I would normally be putting out my credit card and being like, sure, I'll buy that, and I'll pay for that. And I'm not doing as much of that, because I'm on a kind of conservative budget. And then I've had to do things like buy a car, and I'll have to put in for a driving test, and I have to get something called a PPS number, which I think is kind of like, oh, look, there's Michelle. I think, maybe.
You didn't know the people in town.
Well, if that's her van. She's got a turquoise. Maybe it's not that one. But I saw John when we were driving on the road, though.
You saw John?
Yes.
Who's John?
John and his wife, Karen, have a stained glass shop down in Doolin.
Oh, you pointed that out. Yes.
Yes, and so I saw John on the road. But I see people on the road now and then.
Did you not make stained glass for WUSB through there?
They did. They did at the Burns Stained Glass Shop. And they have a website.
So you definitely are a native here because, for one thing, we went to the cliffs yesterday, and you're a mile or two away from there, but you haven't yet been there.
That's right. It's I haven't been. I've only been to the Statue of Liberty from the outside, and I went to the Empire State Building when I was 17. I used to go to the towers, but now that's not available anymore.
And you're talking about landlords and mechanics
yes,
and all kinds of tradespeople, so you're just like a native here.
Yes, but for better or for worse.
Driving on the wrong side of the road.
I'm actually getting pretty good at that.
No, I noticed. You didn't veer or anything. I was following you over here.
Look at people looking at us because they think maybe we're important.
When you have a microphone. We were walking on the cliffs and we had a microphone yesterday.
They stared at us.
Didn't matter. We were standing on the very precipice of death. But holding the microphone, that's what was interesting to them.
That's right. Yeah, there's a lot of people staring at us. I'm not used to people looking, only used to people listening.
Hopefully we won't cause an accident.
Because not any more than usual, I suppose.
But I've gotten used to driving on the wrong side as well, and that's always fun. Hopefully I can get unused to it by the time I get back.
Well, then even when we were driving here, some, like, you know, hoozy-what's it was in the middle of the road. And I was like, ah!
What was that word you just used?
Hoozy-what's it.
What's that?
I made that up because, you know, you can't say FCC, not nice words.
That's true. That's true. We were actually talking about some of the words you can say over here, you can't say over there, and vice versa.
Yeah,
and I
can't say them. They probably can't be on USB air either. So.
Right. Yeah. But we can just make reference to the fact that they exist,
yeah.
And it's kind of funny how language, how you could inadvertently say something that you told me your grandmother might say to you, but over here it'd be considered very offensive.
Mm-hmm.
And I imagine it works the other way as well.
Yes.
That's the danger of language.
Yeah.
And it's the same language, too, which is kind of funny.
To a degree.
So now, in our closing moments here, anything you'd like to say? Well, yeah, we still have to hit the road.
Yeah, oh, no, I know.
Plus, I think it's going to rain again. It seems to rain every few minutes.
Well, I guess, what's the person beeping? I guess, you know, I just tell people that I miss them and that I hopefully, you know, I'll have some good adventures to tell them about. I already have some, like some, you know, a little more frustrating than others, but you know that's part of the trip. But I'm very happy I'm here, because when I went to bring my rental car back and I was driving to the airport, I actually started crying in the car because
of the rental car.
No, well that too, because it was costing more than it should have, but I didn't smash anything. Well, I did a little, but I got the local mechanic to kind of fix it. But anyway.
You edit that part out.
Yeah. Only if people from Europacar are listening.
Sticking yourself in deeper, aren't you?
Yeah, I like to flirt with these things. As I was going to the airport, I was so, so happy that I wasn't going home, that, you know, it wasn't just a vacation this time, that I'm going to stay for a while and try this on. But I do miss people, and I wish I could just go back for like a day or two and then come back, because I am homesick for people and activities and, you know, doing stuff at the station and people that I work with. Actually, I miss the kids. I don't miss the paperwork at work at all, but I miss my coworkers and I miss the kids.
Kids? All the kids?
Yeah, well, most of them. Maybe one or two, not so much, but, you know.
Okay. Well, you work with kids, obviously. You're not talking about all kids in America.
No, yeah.
I can't imagine why you would miss all of them.
I don't miss them all yet, so I can't miss them all yet.
Mm-hmm. Well, you certainly picked a great place to be, and, it's amazing. I found some relatives here. Maybe other people can come over and find some relatives. Who knows?
That's right. If they're in a 10-mile radius of where I am, hopefully I can locate them.
Incredible. Well, any comments for our staff, Isabel, perhaps, our general manager, Norm?
Oh, sure. I send my love. I love you guys, man. And I haven't even had a libation. I haven't even had tea, like I said. So.
Yeah, you know, that would be good. Some morning tea would be nice. Some afternoon tea would also be nice.
Yeah, any of the above.
As much tea as I can get, that would be good.
Something in the bag.
Yeah. I've got to hit the road if I want to make whales today. But Marianne, it's been so great seeing you again, and thanks for showing us around and for making this place possible, really.
Excellent. Bye.
Hug on the air. Wow. So, Walter, here we are on the way back on this little train. This train that has how many cars again?
Two.
Two cars. Okay, so you've learned something on this trip, that this train does have two cars, not three. That's good. But did you get anything else out of going to the West Coast?
It was very cool. It was just an interesting place. It's also nice to see, like, rural rural Ireland as opposed to just Dublin, and also Limerick, even though we weren't there for long. We didn't get stabbed or anything, so that was nice.
Not getting stabbed, that's one of the many accomplishments that we managed to... You know, what's weird, we're on this train, we're going, I think, less than 1 mile an hour now. Not really sure why that is. It worries me because this is the train from Limerick to Limerick Junction, And Limerick Junction is where you meet the train to Dublin. And Dublin is where you meet the ferry to Wales. And now we're stopped, so we're not going to meet anything if something doesn't get fixed soon. So that's didn't happen on the way over, did it?
No, I don't believe so.
Yeah, so well, hopefully we have a 3-minute window, but they'll wait for us, I'm sure. They better. So yeah, it was an amazing experience coming out here. Never been to this part of the country, and haven't seen so much. And drove a rental car, and that was fun. Returned it, no problems.
Yes.
Were you scared as the passenger?
Somewhat. We were in Limerick, after all.
No, I mean being the passenger in the car when I was driving.
No. I think your friend was, but I wasn't.
Well, I mean, I was scared because the road was so narrow that there was no room for error at all. And, of course, we were on the other side of the road that we're used to. And there were all kinds of trucks and buses, and they were going very fast. And, you know, cliffs and stone walls and who knows what else. What are the hazards that were. But we survived, and no damage to the car. Didn't hit anybody. Didn't even get honked at. Well, I got honked at once at the end. And ironically, it was when I was trying to find the car rental place to return the car. All those cows. One thing that I've noticed here in Ireland is that horses lie down. And that's... Well, cows I've seen lie down, but horses...
I saw a cow stand up once, actually. It took her, like 20 seconds to stand up. Like, it put its hind feet up, and then it, like, rested it, and then it put its front feet up.
Well, cows are heavy, and, yeah, to pick one up, especially if you are a cow, is a lot of effort. But the thing with horses, I just thought horses just sort of stood there and didn't do anything. And I thought they slept standing up, but here I see horses actually just lying down like a dog. And I don't know if it's a different breed, or that it's more relaxed here in Ireland, or what. And the other thing, by Marianne's house, there were a couple of, I think they were called burros. They just had this very strange, poetic look to them, and they just were staring at the house without moving for literally hours at a time. And when we went outside, she waved at one of them, literally, she waved at a horse burro, whatever it was called, and it looked up, you know, like it was understanding that she was greeting them, and then they started walking over. And I realized that they didn't have to stand there. They didn't have to just keep in that position. They just chose to. But they could go anywhere. And so it's a very strange kind of animal there. So, And we saw a fox in the road.
We did. That was exciting.
That was exciting. He jumped up on a fence. I never actually saw a fox jump up on a fence before. So that was a moment of excitement there. All right. So now we're back on track, heading towards Limerick Junction, where we get the train to Dublin, and then figure out how to get to a baby cow. They're fun. Baby cows run around like puppies.
Yeah,
it's quite a sight to see. You think of cows just as big stupid beasts, but when you see baby cows, I guess they're called veals, running around.
They're only called veals if they're dead.
I suppose. Yeah, you don't call the cows beef, I guess. That's sort of how we think of them. But, yeah, it changes your perspective when you see them all cute. Well, there's a horse right there standing all by himself in the field. I just wonder what they think about when they're doing that. All right, our special two-car train is racing through the countryside now with what sounds like a regular gasoline motor that you turn the key to turn on. We're going fast. I'd say we're going about, I don't know, 80 miles an hour. So that's not bad. So, yeah. The journey continues on to Wales.
Piercing wintry breeze blowing through the budding trees, and I button up my coat to keep me warm. But later on the mend, and I'm on the road again, with my fiddle snuggled close beneath my arm. I've a fine felt hat and a strong pair of brogues I have rotten in my pocket for my bow. And my fiddle strings are new, and I've learned a tune or two, so I'm well prepared to ramble and must go.
I'm as happy as a king when I catch a breath of spring, and the grass is turning green as winter ends. And the geese are on the wing, and the thrushes start to sing, and I'm headed down the road to see my friends. I've a fine felt hat and a strong pair of brogues. I have rosin in me punnet for me bow. And my fiddle strings are new, and I've learned a tune or two, so I'm well prepared to ramble and must go. I am friends in every town as I ramble up and down, making music at the markets and the fairs. And the wheels and the farmers making deals, and the yellow-headed tinkers sell us wares. I've a fine felt hat and a strong pair of brogues. I have rosin in my pocket for my bow. And my fiddle strings are new, and I've learned a tune or two, so I'm well prepared to ramble and must go. Here's health to one and all, to the big and to the small, to the rich and poor alike, and foe and friend. And when we return again, may our foes have turned to friends, and may peace and joy be with you until then. I've a fine felt hat and a strong pair of brogues. I have rosin in my pocket for my bow. And my fiddle strings are new, and I've learned a tune or two, so I'm well prepared to ramble and must go. I've a fine felt hat and a strong pair of brogues. I have rosin in my pocket for my bow. And my fiddle strings are new, and I've learned a tune or two, so I'm well prepared to ramble and must go.